Base Mishnah Test until Parak Gimel Mishnah Base. The past couple of Mishnahs have been discussing how we determine the year in which certain produce is considered to have grown. Now, we already saw that when it comes to vegetables, this critical stage by which the year is determined is when the vegetables are gathered in. Once they've been harvested and gathered in from the fields. So if, let's say, the vegetables grew in the sixth year, but they were only gathered in the seventh year during Shemitah, then they would be considered Shemitah produce. Now, it's learned from Psukim that this only applies if the vegetables grow in a normal manner. And one example of that is that the vegetables are provided with water other than the rainwater, which means that if vegetables are not provided with other water, then their critical stage, the stage which would determine what year they're grown in, or part of what year they should be tithed, that stage will not be the stage that they're gathered in. And the Mishnah will teach this through examples of certain vegetables, habatzolim hasarisim, onions which don't produce seeds, ufol hamitzri, and an Egyptian bean. These are examples of vegetables which usually require watering other than rainwater. So if somebody shemona mehem mayim shloishim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if somebody withheld from them water for at least 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, so that the last 30 days of that year he didn't water his field at all, he has now turned that field, in a way, into a non-vegetable field. It's no longer viewed as a vegetable with regards to that determination, with regards to that critical stage, and therefore even if they are only gathered in the next year, that is not going to be that critical stage. Rather, misasun she'ovar, he would separate the tithes from it, viewing it as the last year's produce, and not the new year's produce. And if the new year is Shemitah, then umatorim bashvias, they will be permitted with regards to Shemitah, meaning they are not considered Shemitah produce, even though they were gathered in during Shemitah, because that is no longer their critical stage. Vim lav, but if he did not withhold water for that long, then they are still considered to be vegetable fields which are treated as regular vegetables. They're grown in the regular way, and therefore asurim bashvias, they will be forbidden during Shemitah, meaning they will be considered Shemitah produce, because they were gathered in during Shemitah, which asin l'shana habar. And if it was a different year, then the tithes need to be separated from it by viewing it as the new year's produce. Because remember, each year of the Shemitah cycle has different tithes which need to be separated. So in this case, we would view it as the new year's produce, so whatever tithes need to be separated in that new year, those are the ones which would be separated from these vegetables. Now what happens if the shel ba'al? If the vegetables grow in a ba'al field, which refers to a field which generally it's enough just with the rainwater. There's not a whole watering system to water the plants in there. Rather, in general, rainwater is enough. However, when it comes to vegetables, even in a ba'al field, vegetables generally do need to be watered, but not that often. So therefore, 30 days of not watering it will not stop it being a vegetable field, because in a ba'al field, it would still be normal to leave it for 30 days without water. But if he withheld water from them for two periods, so let's say the general practice was to water them once every, let's say, 25 days. So if he let 50 days pass without watering them, that's two periods. So if he does that, then it would no longer be considered a vegetable field, so he would not follow the stage of when they are gathered in. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Chachom say, Shalosh is only considered a non-vegetable field, or it's only considered to be going against the general way to grow vegetables if you withhold water from it for three periods, than the example we gave after 75 days. Since it's in a ba'al field, it is generally anyway watered not very frequently. Mishnah Yud, one difference between whether produce is considered to be Shemitah produce or not is that Shemitah produce cannot be planted in the ground just in order to produce more seeds. The Torah says, La'ochla, it's for eating, not for planting again, just in order to produce more seeds. And so the Mishnah says, Hadluin, gourds, and really this would apply to any vegetable, it's just using Deluin as a common example, Shekiyamon lezera, that somebody kept them in the ground for the sake of producing seeds. So he planted them, let's say, in the sixth year, and they ripened and became ready in the sixth year, and he could have picked them then and enjoyed his gourd. But instead of doing so, he left it into the ground so that it will produce more seeds. But what happens is, if you leave something in the ground for too long, then eventually it dries up, becomes hard and inedible. Now, gourd is a type of vegetable, so its critical stage, which determines what year it is part of, is when it is gathered up from the field. However, in Hukshu Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if the gourds which he planted hardened and became inedible before Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, the nefslu me'echa adam, and they became inedible for a man to eat them. So they're certainly not considered Shemitah produce, because by the time Shemitah came along, they were already inedible. You couldn't fulfill the posuk of la'achla that you need to eat it. And therefore, mutar l'kayma b'shavias, you'd be permitted to leave it in the ground to produce more seeds during the Shemitah year, because they are considered to be the sixth year's produce. V'imlav, and if they did not become inedible and hard enough by the beginning of the Shemitah year, so then they're still edible during Shemitah. And as long as it grows a bit during Shemitah, so it's considered Shemitah produce, because you didn't gather in from the field during the sixth year. And therefore, also l'kayma b'shavias, you'll be forbidden to keep it in the ground to produce more seeds during Shemitah, because it's considered Shemitah produce, and therefore it needs to be eaten. However, says the Mishnah, hatamori shalahen, the leaves of the gourds, they don't become hard, and they are edible, which means that although they are part of the gourds which are inedible, this part of the plant, which is like a leaf, is not exactly a leaf, it's similar to a leaf that is still edible, and therefore asur b'shavias, is forbidden during Shemitah, meaning it has to be treated as regular Shemitah produce, even if the main plant, the main gourd itself, is not going to be considered Shemitah produce. Continues the Mishnah, Umar Beitzin be'offer lovon divrei Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, one is allowed to water the ground, it literally means you're allowed to water the white soil. And this refers to the ground which is in between trees, if there are trees which are quite widely spaced out in a field. So even during Shemitah itself, you're allowed to water the trees, because otherwise they'll die. And as we have seen, you're only not allowed to do work during Shemitah if it's to improve or to make the trees grow more. But if you're preventing them from dying or being harmed, then you're allowed to work them. So you can water the trees themselves, but the so-called white soil, which refers to the area without shade, so it's light and white, that's the area which is in between the trees, not right next to the trees. So in that open area, you're not allowed to water it in the regular, normal way, but marbitzen, you're allowed to sprinkle water there. You can water it a little bit, because according to Rishimin, if you don't water it, then that ground can get very hard and dry, and that dryness can spread towards the trees and could ultimately cause harm to the trees. However, Rabbi Yezman Yaakov forbids this. According to him, we do not need to be concerned that the trees will be harmed as a result of this middle area not being watered at all. And finally, says the Mishnah, Memorosin Bo'iriz Bashvias, one is allowed to flood a rice field with water during Shemitah. By adding lots and lots of water to the rice field, it would improve the ground's ability to grow rice in the future. And as long as the rice took root before Shemitah, so it's considered sixth year produce, you're allowed to water it in this way during Shemitah. For the rice to grow properly, it requires this process. But this can be done as long as the rice took root before Shemitah. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, and he's not really arguing, he's more like adding, Aval ema chaschen, you're not allowed to cut the leaves of the rice during Shemitah because that's not preventing any harm, and the rice can grow just fine without doing that. So that's like improving the field which would be forbidden during Shemitah, even to produce which is considered to be sixth year produce. So we've now concluded the first two prokim of Maseches Shavuos, and for the most part, the Mishnayos of the first two prokim discuss halachos which actually apply already from the sixth year. That's Tosefes Shavuos, and the past few Mishnayos were discussing produce which goes from the sixth year into the seventh year. And now from the third perek onwards, we're going to be discussing Shavuos itself. Now the first few Mishnayos of Perek Gimel discuss fertilizing. Now at least in those days, the main ingredient of fertilizer was animal dung, and this was spread throughout the field, and it would make the produce grow better. Now of course it's forbidden to fertilize one's field during Shemitah. But if that's the case, then what should one do with all the dung from his animals, which is produced during Shemitah? If he just leaves it where it is, then firstly it can be very inconvenient, but secondly it can actually cause health dangers as well. So the most practical thing to do was to pile up the dung in his field, and that's actually what they would do in a normal year. They would pile up in their field, and then when they were ready, they would actually spread that pile across the whole field and fertilize the field. However, if he piles up dung in his field during Shemitah, then it looks like he's preparing to fertilize his field. It's maris ha'ayin, it looks like he's doing an aveira. And therefore, he can only pile up the dung in his field to store it there after the season for fertilizing. Because then it's obvious that he's not preparing to fertilize his field during Shemitah, and therefore it no longer looks like he's doing an aveira. So the Mishnah is going to provide three different times, given by three different opinions, for when exactly the season for fertilizing finishes. Though really, all these three times are very similar, and the three different opinions are really more like ways to know when the season has ended. So the mission asks, Me'imasai mitziens volum lash patois. From when may one bring out dung, and really fertilizer, to piles in the field? The answer is, Mishayivsku ov de avoda, from when those who are working in the field stop to fertilize. So this could refer to non-Jews, or other Mishnayos actually have a different version, Mishayivsku ov re'avira, from when those who are sinning stop working in the field, and that would refer even to Jews who are wrongly working in the field. But the point is, once they stop fertilizing, so somebody who's now piling his fertilizer in the field, it's obvious that he's not doing it to prepare the rest of his field to be fertilized. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishayiva shamosaik. It's once the fertilizer has dried up, and Rabbi Yossi says, Mishayikshar. It's when the fertilizer becomes dry, so that it looks like it's sort of tied up. And again, the Yerushalmi says that all these three opinions are very similar, and really they're just giving us different ways to know when this time is. Mishnah Beis is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. And when it comes to the person piling up the fertilizer and the animal dung in his field, there's specific amounts which he can do. Asks the Mishnah, Ad kamo mezablin, up until how much can he pile up the fertilizer? So the Mishnah is now going to provide a maximum, and that is Ad sholosh sholosh patos levei se'ar, up till 3 piles per beis se'ar. So an area of a beis se'ar can have no more than 3 piles of fertilizer. But now the Mishnah is going to tell us a minimum for the size of each heap, of each pile. Shall eser eser mashpelos, shall lesech lesech. Each pile has to be made up of at least 10 containers of dung, which contain a lesech of dung. A lesech is half a kur, it's a volume. And the reason why the heaps have to be so large is because if there are very small heaps in the field, then people who are walking by might actually think that you're fertilizing the field. Not that you're piling up fertilizer, because it's such a small pile that it looks like you're actually fertilizing and pulling the dung onto the produce. And the Mishnah says, Mosifin al hamashpelos, one is allowed to add onto the amount of containers in each pile. So there's no maximum for the size of each pile. In fact, it needs to be big so that it does not look like you're fertilizing the field. But for Mosifin al hamashpatos, you cannot add on to the amount of piles in your field, because if there are lots of piles in your field, then you are spreading fertilizer across the field. Then it certainly does look like you're actually fertilizing the field. However, Rabbi Shimon says, Afal Ashpatos, you're even allowed to add on to the number of piles in the field in a beis se'ar. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, since it's in big piles, we've already gotten rid of the concern that people will think he's fertilizing his field. If there are at least 10 containers of dung, then it's obvious that he's not fertilizing his field. It's clearly just a pile of fertilizer, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you would be able to add more piles into the field, and we are not concerned that it looks like you are fertilizing.